This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. It's time once again for the Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and as always, I'm joined by two guests who are here to answer the questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper. They've both been on the show before, so they know what to expect, but not with each other. They're together on this episode because one of them is the creator and star, and the other the producer of a brand new comedy, The Cruise Ship, which you will be able to watch on YouTube from the 6th of December. Welcome to the show, James Galea and Joe Dyer.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. Lovely to be here.
Hello, you two. It's so nice to have you both back on again.
It's great to be back.
It's great to be back. I've been reading as much general knowledge as I can to just prepare myself in the last year for this.
And I seriously have not, and I thought you were wildly optimistic when you said that we were here to answer the questions.
Well, yeah, attempt to answer the questions.
Yeah, that's probably more apposite.
You'll provide the answers eventually with enough hints.
Indeed, and once you've spelled them out.
Exactly. But before we get to the quiz, tell me about The Cruise Ship.
Go, James. I mean, The Cruise Ship is the film that the TV show that should have been made a long time ago. It's The Office meets The Love Boat, and it's hilarious. And it's based on James's inside secret knowledge of the world of cruise ships.
Well said.
Because, James, your other life is as a magician.
Yeah, my real job is as a magician. I'm a professional magician.
I love that that's someone's real job.
Yeah. Well, not according to my parents, but yeah. So, essentially, like, I was working as a headliner on cruise ships around the world for many decades in between, you know, living in Los Angeles and being back in Australia doing shows with Joe, that Joe produced as well, our live shows that we did, which were magic shows as well, like through Vegas and all the other places, but would then, you know, every now and then jump on a cruise ship, you know, and work on there. But earlier on in my, career, I was working as like a kids entertainer on a cruise ship and then became, you know, a real act that was on there. And then, you know, you see some of the craziest things that you would never see anywhere else. But everything that happens in a big city or even a small city happens on a cruise ship. So there's just many crazy characters and crazy people that are on there. And everyone that's ever been on one, who has worked on one, says, oh, there's got to be a show about this. But I feel like no one ever has that access to that. So I was like, you know, bugger it, I'm going to write it. So I met with co-writer and co-director Josh Whiteman, and we got down and started writing. And then, you know, we got lucky enough to make it, and people let us make it on their wonderful ship and thing, and we're excited to share.
Incredible. So you actually shot on a real-life cruise ship.
Yes, they don't want to be mentioned. said we could shit on there if we don't say their name, so we won't say their name.
Okay, but the fictional name of the cruise ship is
The Crystal Blue, which is a cruise ship as part of Platinum Pacific Cruises. And Johnny, I think it's fair to mention, and that we should say, that you were actually the first part of our show. You played in our reading before we actually got any funding or anything. You were played Dr.
I
Patterson.
I did indeed. Yeah. That's probably why you got the funding.
Yeah.
I think that's true. And then you wisely left us behind as you moved on to bigger and better
reluctantly,
things.
Reluctantly. Quite reluctantly.
Very happily replaced with Dave Lawson, who's done an amazing job.
Yeah, lovely Dave Lawson, who's also been on the show a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds fantastic. I can't wait to see it. And people can already see the trailer.
By the time you listen to this, sorry if this is live. Is this live? Sorry.
This is not live.
Not supposed to be live. Okay.
Are you kidding? Like, we have to edit out a lot of this. The dross gets like...
No, this is not live. It's called the Saturday Quiz. This is a Wednesday, but that's okay.
I knew that. I just didn't know if the people listening knew. I mean, I've done it before. I know what's happening. Oh, my God. See, this is why I get nervous. You say I shouldn't be nervous about being on here, and I already feel like I sound stupid.
So people can already see the trailer for the show.
Yeah, you can watch it now on YouTube, Vimeo, or Facebook. Just type in The Cruise Ship, C-R-E-W-S, you know? Hilarious
title.
That's
very funny. See, that's like a pun.
It's a pun.
I have to explain that it's hilarious before. I just don't want you to go to an actual cruise ship page going, why are they sending
me? This is not funny at all.
Just the promo video for
P&O. Yeah. Yes, and they can follow us on Instagram and all the channels, and I'm sure you'll have it on there. Or type in my name and you'll see
brilliant.
It come up.
Brilliant. Now, on this season of the quiz, I've been asking my guests if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favourite piece of trivia?
Oh, my God, I used it on my last one. That was like my chicken salt was invented in Adelaide.
Oh, that's right.
Well, yeah. I will add to that, Joe. Do you know since then, you probably do, there's been a documentary made about Chicken Salt Man. Have you seen this?
I have not seen the documentary.
No, nor have I.
Documentary being made about the person. But interestingly, because I remember hearing your chicken salt info and I was like, I don't know how true that is. But it is true. However,
it's not that.
I went to a fish, because I've always wondered about where chicken salt's from. I went to the fish and chip shop down in Bondi.
Yeah.
There just happened to be a lady talking. She goes, where do you get your chicken salt? It's amazing. And it's true. It's some of the best chicken salt, that Bondi fish shop, the chicken salt. And he's like, well, it actually comes from Greece. And I was like, what? I was like, you're Australian chicken salt. He goes, yeah, it comes from Greece. And he told me the island. I have forgotten it, and I don't want to embarrass myself by trying to pretend and say the name. But yeah, it was this island in Greece where he gets his chicken salt, which I thought was Australian chicken salt. Mm. So,
wow.
You know,
so there's an island in Greece that are supplying the Bondi fish and chip shop with
Greek
chicken salt.
That
Greek
sort of chicken salt, somehow seems oxymoronic or kind of certainly counterintuitive, but there you go.
Yeah, that's scandalous. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with the questions right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Joe Dyer and James Galea. We're going to start with question number one. Green Gage, Davidson and Damson are all types of which fruit?
Sorry, green? Is it green, comma?
No, green gage.
Green gage, G-R-E-E-N-G-A-G-E, Davidson and Damson, which is kind of like Samson, but with a D.
Son of Damp. I have never heard of any of those varietals before.
I was trying to think of them as apples.
No.
Trying to think of them. I know you had pumpkins on recently, and that was a question.
Certainly not apples, I don't think, nor grapes, because I have, oddly enough, heard of different varietals of those.
Yes, that's not odd at all.
No, indeed.
I think we're all familiar with several.
I only
several
know,
varieties of grape.
I only know the cos and icebergs in the lettuce categories.
I know lots of...
And nor are they fruit.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not fruit. Yeah. So now, tomato is a fruit. That could be the kind of a trick question. The kind
it
of
is, but it's not.
It's not tomato, I have a lot of tomato.
You know, kind of Roma. Is it something weird or is it pretty obvious?
No, it is something a little bit weird.
Banana,
No, it's a kind of standard, you know,
fruit.
It's a stone fruit.
Like a nectarine or peaches, green.
Yeah, you're in the right rightish.
Plum.
Yeah, they're plums.
Go. Yeah,
fabulous work.
We
Joe.
Only went through about 8 questions, but that's fine because we got there in the end.
Are you're not familiar with the Davidson plum?
No, I'm not.
Clearly not, Johnny.
I'm familiar with kind of sticky plums sort of decaying on cement that we used to have on the fruit trees in our gardens growing up in Adelaide, which, of course, no one has here in Sydney unless they live in the North Shore because no one can afford gardens. But in Adelaide, it was a different situation.
Do you know what kind of plums you had in your – was this in your – neighbourhood?
In our neighbourhood, yeah, they were sticky dead plums.
Sticky dead plums. Because the Davidson plum is the Australian native plum.
Ah. So
yeah.
In that kind of Mediterranean clime of South Australia, perhaps it was a Davidson plum. Retrospectively, I can impose that knowledge on the tree that showered plums upon us.
Yeah, although I am reading now that it's also known as the Mullumbimby plum.
Ah,
well, so if you said Mullumbimby, I would have got Plum immediately.
Really?
No.
Not at all. There you go. So Davidson, Green Gage, and Dampson are all types of plums.
Can only get better from here, Joe.
All right. Question number two. What are the six factors of the number 44? How's your maths knowledge?
I thought it was good.
So that would be
44.
4, 11.
11.
22.
Correct.
They're all whole numbers.
Well, they are. Whole, yep.
Yeah.
What, we've just got four just
so now. What have you said?
So we've said 11, 2, 4, 11, 22.
Yep.
1.
And you've one is yep. one of them.
Oh, and 44.
You got annoyed at me, Joe.
And 44.
Yeah. There we go. So we've got the hard ones and then the obvious. Thank you, James, for coming in with yes. 1 times 44.
Exactly. Yeah. They are the six factors of the number 44. 1, 2, 4, 11, 22. And 44.
I feel like that's the easy one to lull you into a false sense of security.
I mean, it is pretty easy. Look, I reckon this one is pretty easy as well. Question number three.
Let's do it.
According to the proverb, a what in the hand is worth two in the bush.
A bird.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a bird. Yeah. What do you understand that to mean?
Well, there's only one thing.
You're holding a little bird. It's better than right there. Hear it. Right there. Proximity is better than quantity.
Is there any other way of looking at it, Johnny? I
thought you might take a more metaphorical approach rather than a...
Well, no, that is a metaphorical, like proximity versus distance is, you know, the unique and the special thing versus quantity.
Have.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing you have is better than further away.
Yeah.
Hankering thereafter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dance with the people you came with.
Dance with the people you came with.
Yeah.
I like that.
There is also a winery.
Oh, there is a winery. Yeah, we're back to...
We are back to wine. We're back to wine. That's putting me in good stead, but there is a very good winery.
Called Bird in Hand.
Bird in Hand, yes.
South Australia winery?
Yes, it is. Yeah very good. It does a very good sparkling.
Okay.
Which we can still sparkling wine, even whilst Prosecco is apparently under a bit of a shadow. Thanks to those damn Italians.
So we can't call it champagne and we can't call it Prosecco.
Well, the
anymore.
Thing about Prosecco is that is a variety of grape.
Ah.
Even though the Italians had first used that variety of grape, it's not a region like champagne is.
Oh, I see. And a method. It's not a method either.
No, it's actually just a grape variety.
A grape, yeah.
But then quite recently, and I think it was 2009, the Italians changed the name of the region from which that grape came
to Prosecco
and are now retrospectively trying to say we can't call our wine Prosecco, which is outrageous and will be contested. And it's
contested in the in the International Court of
because the trade deal that we did with the EU was based on still being able to use the term Prosecco when we gave up the capacity to use champagne. So there we go.
Wow. We'll give you a champagne. We'll take a brick and
thing. Yeah.
All right. Question number four. What is the first name of Bill Gates's philanthropist ex-wife?
Melinda.
Very good.
Yeah. Not even any jokes. Just straight.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. No jokes. Yeah. No jokes about Melinda.
You can make some now.
All right. Question number five. What game of physical skill, starting with J, involves players taking turns to remove one block at a time from a tower initially constructed of 54 blocks?
Not jujitsu, but Jenga.
It is Jenga.
I was trying to get the double points for 2 J's, but just wasn't going to work for us.
Not jujitsu. It is Jenga. Do you know, tell me this, or guess where the creator of Jenga is from?
The way you're saying that, it makes me want to say a small town in Australia.
It's not Australian, no.
It somehow seems sort of Middle Eastern to me.
You're kind of close-ish.
Africa.
Yeah, that suggests not really that close at all.
Africa.
Yeah.
We're in Africa.
Leslie Scott, she is a British national who was born in Tanzania and grew up in Ghana, where her family bought a set of children's building blocks from a local sawmill, which the Scott family used to create their own game, which inspired her to create Jenga in 1982. And the name Jenga is derived from Kujenga, which is a Swahili word which means to build.
Oh, isn't that nice?
But isn't that?
Do you think it's a bit of a stretch to call it a physical game?
Okay. Well, you said sport.
I'm thinking like kind of jousting.
That's what I. Well, that's why I went straight to jujitsu. But didn't you say sport?
No, it says
sport?
What game of. The question is what game of physical skill?
Okay. Even so.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Is that physical skill? I suppose it is if you can keep your hands steady.
We'll go with it, Johnny. We'll go.
Physical skill. I have many more physical skills hitherto unknown if we can count that as a physical skill.
Okay, we're going to take another break. We'll be back with the rest of the questions right after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Joe Dyer and James Galea. We're up to question number 6. A 1980s police procedural drama series, which centered on the lives of two female New York City detectives, was Cagney and
Lacey.
Oh. Lacey. That's easy.
Lacey, that's very easy. I thought I wasn't going to know this,
but
with Cagney.
I first went with Laverne and Shirley and thought, I don't think they're the ladies we're talking of.
No.
They weren't detectives, as far as I know.
That's what I thought. Okay.
We would just throw up any names, like two names, titles, and see where we end up. But no, Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah, Cagney and Lacey is the one. Did either of you watch Cagney and Lacey when it was
on? It was a part of my youth, I think. All I remember is hearing my Maltese dad's voice always say, Cagney and Lacey. And I don't know why I know that from growing up. So I don't know if that was like, switch it on, it's coming up. But that's the memory in my head.
He was a big fan.
Yeah. We were only allowed, we had, our television was strictly rationed. So Cagney and Lacey didn't make the cut.
Okay. Well, it was originally conceived as a film with the working title Newman and Redford, which is quite funny. Yeah. The show came into existence thanks to the feminist film critic Molly Haskell and her book From Reverence to Rape, in which she pointed out that there had never been a female buddy film.
Well, so right. Were they then trying to get Paul Newman and Robert Redford to actually, was that the point? Because they had two come out just then as well.
Well, that probably wouldn't have made much of a feminist.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Film. She changed it, is what he said.
It was originally called that, and they didn't want.
Oh, they flipped the gender.
No, it was written as Newman and Redford were the names of female
the
cops.
Women.
Yeah.
Understood. Yeah.
They thought it would be too confusing because everyone would turn it on expecting Paul Newman.
Shocking
that
they're confused.
It would undercut its feminist message.
Exactly. But how about that? I find that really interesting that the producers and the writers were inspired by that book to write that wrong,
so
I guess.
So kind of predating the Bechdel.
Yeah, exactly.
Predating the Bechdel test, there was like a critic going, come on, guys.
Yeah, very well done. All right, question number 7. It's a true or false, so it's 50-50. Here we go. True or false? 2022 Melbourne Cup winner Gold Trip carried the #1 saddle cloth. And there's a bonus point for naming which horse won the 1930 Melbourne Cup carrying the #1 saddle cloth.
I don't even know what the saddle cloth is, so
I think it's just a number that hangs over the horse.
It's the number of the horse.
Okay,
and they are I think they are kind of randomly allocated.
Oh, are they? Okay, so it's not depending on which lane they're in, because then we could do some deductions.
No, that's the interesting thing. The barrier number is different to the saddle cloth number because saddle cloths predate barrier use.
Because the thing was, what I do know about the Melbourne Cup winner this year was it was like a complete outsider. Uh-huh. So then you might think, well, it could have been in one of the good barrier gates, because that would mean it could have come round the outside and swept the field that way. But because there is no relationship between those two things. That is an entirely irrelevant kind of supposition. So I think we just have to guess, true or false.
You do have to James, guess, true
what
or
do
false?
You think?
I could flip a coin, but I'm happy to go either. I have no preference, Joe. Do you want to go true or false?
I am going to say true.
Let's go with it.
You are going to be correct.
Yes.
Because very that, well you know done. Why I thought that is because the bonus question related to another horse that had number one in the way that it was framed.
Yes.
So I did think, you know, maybe they both do, but I don't have the bonus answer.
The only one I would know would be Farlap. That's the only, but
well,
that's not
that is the right, that is the correct answer.
Yes. James,
very well done.
Work. See?
Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought to say Farlap.
Farlap won the Melbourne Cup wearing saddlecloth number one in 1930. Do you know, here's more bonus questions for you. Do you know how many horses run in the cup?
26.
Oh, you're very close. It's 24. Since 1955, the number of horses running in the cup has been limited.
I think I only remember 24. That because we were in kindergarten. We used to have like one. Well, no, they used to have the sweep and there was enough for the kids in our class. That's how I know.
That's
funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was only seven starters back in 1863, while the biggest field was 39 runners in 1890.
That has to be dangerous.
This year, with Gold Trip holding saddlecloth number one and winning, that means that numbers one and four are the most successful saddlecloth numbers. With number one winning this year and last year's winner, Very Elegant, holding saddlecloth number four.
Do you think that in 18, whenever it was, that there were 39 horses starting, there were only 24 that finished and the rest were carnage along
that's
the way?
That's what I'm saying.
Very possibly. That's why they're like
number 24.
Mate, let's cut it back to 24. Yeah.
Some random trivia that you did.
Yes,
less trivia, more story for you. But when I was a kid, I used to love watching Farlap. And then I never understood how the horse died, and then he came back with him and Sigrid. I didn't realize that Man from Snowy River and Farlap wasn't a sequel. So I just didn't understand why Tom Bolinson was riding this horse, but then the horse was dead. It made no sense to me. It was very weird for my kid brain.
Well, that's so funny. There were a lot of horse movies were big in the kind of 80s, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Well, there's two.
There's two.
Well,
and then Man from Snowy River 2 as well. Yeah, you've got them all going, Johnny.
Yeah. All right, question number 8. A classic Australian cake, the jelly cake, is sometimes referred to as a what, Lamington?
Oh, I thought he was going to say trifle.
I was going to say trifle too.
Jam.
Oh, so it's
a jam, like a jam
Lamington?
No.
Is this the one with the pink icing? Is that the difference? Like, I have seen it.
Yeah.
Snowball?
So what kind of Lamington might it be?
Pink.
What did you say, John?
Pink Lamington.
It's a pink Lamington.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, again, we should just go for the obvious.
Our
problem is that we're too deep thinkers.
Yes. Johnny, mate, don't come
something
at.
More profound.
You're overthinking. I was unaware that it was called a jelly cake.
Yeah, never heard that before.
I've not ever heard that term.
I've seen them.
I've never heard it either. But when people bring them to a party
and I'm like, oh, who would ever buy a whole tray of these? Like, I'll have a taste of one, but I never knew that you could buy a tray.
I have to say, I'm not really a fan of the Lamington. They're too dry. The first mouthful.
No, I have the answer to your question, Joe, and it lives right around the corner from you. If you go to Carriage Works on Saturday, Flower and Stone have their little setup there and they have a panna cotta Lamington.
It's
$9, which may turn you off for one Lamington. However, it's very dense, insanely dense, and the most moist Lamington you'll ever. I'll take you there on a Saturday and do it.
And it's
you can eat it.
It's panna cotta. Yum.
Panna cotta Lamington. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
That does sound pretty good.
Highly recommend.
Wow, that's good for the Italian Australians. That's fantastic, isn't it?
I don't know if they're benefiting directly. to be honest, Johnny.
But I hope they are.
Well, you know, them and their Prosecco.
You've taken their plums, you've taken their grapes, and now you've taken the Lamingtons to profit all.
All right, question number 9. What year links these events? The first successful human-to-human heart transplant, the Six-Day War, and Harold Holt's disappearance while swimming off a Victorian beach.
And that Harrow Hole thing just came recently in something I was reading too.
I want to say 67?
You should say that. That is absolutely
good
right.
Work yeah. there. That was good.
1967.
Yeah.
So in December was the world's first human-to-human heart transplant. Do you know where that was performed?
I would
That's
say
been on the podcast before.
Oh.
So how committed listeners are you of this podcast?
Very committed, obviously.
In India?
But how much knowledge can one brain store?
It wasn't in India.
Was that Christian Barnard guy? Was he
very
the
good.
Surgeon?
Yes.
So that's sort of a Scandinavian-ish name.
Or alternatively.
Was he's not Australian, is he?
No, he was South African.
Ah, oh.
Yeah, the patient, Louis Washkansky, received his transplant in December and lived for a further 18 days.
I thought you were going to say 18 years.
No, 18 days he wouldn't otherwise have had.
Exactly. Exactly right. I mean, you've already got the year. Can you tell me the, I guess, combatants who fought the Six-Day War?
Oh, it was Syria and Israel, wasn't it?
It was certainly Israel and Syria, but it was a kind of coalition of Arab states.
I think sort of Jordan would have been involved.
Jordan was involved. But it was mainly Egypt was
Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah, of
the
course.
Kind of lead.
And the Sinai was the whole kind
That's
of,
right, yeah. It,
so, of course.
The Six-Day War, which was fought in June, which resulted in more than 20,000 Arab casualties, with Israeli losses standing at fewer than 1,000. At the time of the cessation of hostilities, Israel had seized Syria's Golan Heights,
the
Jordanian annexed West Bank, including East Jerusalem, and Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, as well as the Egyptian-occupied Gaza Strip. It also resulted in the displacement of civilian populations of around 280,000 to 325,000 Palestinians and 100,000 Syrians.
That's kind of where it all dates back, really.
Wow.
Kind of the pre-67 borders is a key kind of negotiating point in the ongoing attempt to bring peace to the Middle East.
Yeah, indeed. All right, question number 10. Oh, and of course, Harold Holt went for his swim in December of 1967.
Yeah, never came back. And I love the fact that there remain swimming pools named after Harold Holt all around the country.
Yeah, amazing. Question number 10.
All right, let's go for 10.
Doreen is a suburb in which Australian capital city?
Surely it's a suburb in every Australian capital city.
I don't think I've been to a Doreen that I can remember.
Doreen?
Joe,
do you know Doreen?
Well, it's certainly not in Adelaide or Sydney, and I don't
You're
believe
correct.
It is in Melbourne.
Okay.
It sounds like it should be in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Or Darwin.
Doreen Darwin.
I would narrow it down to those two.
I've never heard, I just haven't heard of a Doreen.
I don't know it as a suburb. I'm just trying to think which is the sort of the most bogan capital city.
it was named Doreen in 1895.
Oh,
that really helps.
So I don't think they really had bogans back then.
No, they did not.
And it was named, by the Postmaster General, John Gavin Duffy, who was actually Irish-born.
Well, so maybe it was then in one of the bigger capital cities because how big were
those
other outposts prior. So I don't know. Maybe it was – I think I would know it surely if I was in Sydney, but that's not actually
– It's not in Sydney.
So maybe it – is it out of Melbourne?
It is,
I think it's out of Melbourne.
It is out of north-east Melbourne, yeah.
Have you been to
Doreen?
It used
to be called Hazel Glen.
So they went from Hazel Glen to
Doreen.
That's a brave progression, if unlikely.
Isn't it? Yeah. Yes, Hazel Glen became Doreen in 1895 thanks to the Victorian Postmaster General, John Gavin Duffy. Well done.
That's it.
We got there in the end. That's it. That's 10 questions.
We got through.
It's
10. And I tell you what, Johnny, when I listen to other versions of people, I go, I was like, if I had those questions, it would have been fine. And I thought, next time I go on, I'll be fine. And I'm back down to zero again. And I'm just, very glad you're here, Joe. Very happy.
No, I think that was a...
I think collectively you did very, very well.
We do compliment
you
each other.
You reference the pink Lamingtons, let's be honest.
Yep. We do compliment each other well, which is why we work together, I guess. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you work together so well. Tell my listeners where they can catch...
You can catch the cruise ship. The cruise ship, which I just realised that almost all of the cast have been on your show, it feels like, at some point.
Yeah.
At some point.
Who have I had? I've had Charlotte.
Charlotte, Dave.
Your good self. Dave Lawson.
Virginia Gay makes a cameo.
Oh, Virginia Gay's in it, yes.
Virginia Gay features. Have you had Jen Lemon or Valerie Bader?
I have not had either of those.
Not had any of them.
That would be great guests.
And Glenn Shorrock.
And Glenn Shorrock.
He hasn't been on this podcast, but he is in... The cruise ship.
Yeah, he is. And I reckon he's probably been an answer on one of the quiz questions.
Do you know what? I think he possibly has been.
Very, very possible. Yeah. I think all his music stuff ends up in it somehow. But yeah, people can watch online now. You can catch our wonderful trailer with everybody on it on either Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. By typing in The Cruise Ship, or Johnny, I hope you can give people a little link.
I can absolutely put a little link in the show notes.
But it's a very Australian comedy that I think you will love and hope you support and get behind.
Excellent.
And I will also say while I'm here, the last time I was involved in this quiz was when I had Jonathan Biggins on with Tanya Plibersek when Jonathan was in... The Gospel According to Paul, and he is now playing in the Wharf Review on at the Seymour Centre. So you could book a ticket for that too, and you've got kind of two plugs for the price of one.
Excellent. And is the Wharf Review travelling as well?
It is travelling. It's travelling nationally from February next year, but sadly we don't have a Melbourne home as yet. Oh. We are doing Brisbane for the first time
in
February. And we'll be all around the country apart from Melbourne. We will be in Nunawading. That's our Melbourne home at the moment.
Right.
Which is, we love.
And near Doreen.
And Doreen, yes, exactly.
Indeed, yeah. Not as proximate to the CBD as we'd like. But then again, a bird in the hand.
Exactly. Hey. Thank you both so much for coming onto the show again. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Johnny, thank you for having us. Wonderful to be here. Thanks for watching and sharing. We appreciate it and love your work and love your podcast.
Thanks, mate. See you next time.
See you, Johnny. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Saturday Quiz. I really hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, as always, to Cindy McDonald for writing another great quiz. Thanks, of course, to my guests, Joe Dyer and James Galea. There's a link in the show notes to the trailer for their very funny comedy, The Cruise Ship, as well as a link for tickets to the Wharf Review stage show, Looking for Albanese. If you're interested, the documentary about the chicken salt inventor is called Salt of the Earth and has been playing festivals all around the world this year. And if you happen to be a representative from the Bird in Hand winery, let me just say that Shiraz is my preferred drop. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.